I know when Vaughn asked me to preach today, I was like, yeah, I've gotten to the point in my life where, yeah, okay, what's the Lord going to do? And then I had flown in from Dallas Sunday night, and I didn't see Rich till almost 9:30-ish. And he goes, oh, by the way, Vaughn wants you to preach next Sunday. I was like, okay, yeah, yeah. And then you hear that other little voice, you know, like, are you crazy? You know, you just got back from Dallas. You're going to San Jose next week. You have your house is dirty. And, well, Rich kept it pretty good, actually. But, you know, things to do and babysitting my grandson. And then I'm getting ready for the big event of the year for the Pregnancy Support Center this Friday. And I'm like, and I'm going to preach. And I'm hearing the enemy say that. And I said, no way, because God call me to do this, and he will take care of the other stuff. He always does. And I found that when we push the stuff aside and do what God calls us to do, the other stuff gets done. I had the most efficient week this past week than I've had in months, and got things done that I feel like I'm really ready for Friday night. The only thing is I need more people. And that's up to you, not me. So, you know, God, I pray that God will bring the people that he wants there. If you'd like to attend, you know, please let me know after the service. I was in Dallas for a CareNet conference. They always throw that conference right before my banquet every year. And I have to go. It's mandatory. And I sit in classes on donations because most of my job is asking for money. And I hate asking for money. I've been praying, Lord, just get our whole budget in one shot so I can concentrate on the clients, because that's what it's about. It's concentrating on the clients. And so I was going to the donation classes, learning how to get big donations, and I walk in one, and I'm not paying any attention, and I sit down, and I look at the title of the speaker, and I go, oh, Mike Williams, that's the same name as our speaker coming to the banquet. And I'm looking at the guy, and I thought, gee, he looks like the picture of the guy coming to our banquet. And it turns out it was the guy who's coming Friday night to our banquet. And he is a Christian comedian, but he's also an expert on raising funds. He gave one of the best teaching on raising donations I've ever heard in my life, but we laughed through the whole thing. And we laughed so hard we were disturbing the neighbors next door, and we kept getting complaints about it. And so he would go up to the wall and goes, I'm sorry, we're having more fun than you are, you know. But we had a great time. So, you know, if you have nothing to do Friday night, the dinner is free. It's at Hudson Valley Resort. It's a fabulous dinner. And I'm trying to still fill tables up, and all we ask for is donations. So please keep that in mind. See me afterwards. So, you know, a lot of you don't know me too well, but as far as God is concerned, I'm OC. I'm obsessive compulsive. You know, I want to do everything that God asked me to do. I have trouble saying no because I just want to do it. And one day I went to Pastor Vaughn, this a few years ago, and I said, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm just doing too much. I need to lay something down. And he sat back, and he must have been speaking to God. And then he looked at me and goes, no, you don't. He goes, you thrive on that. You thrive on that busyness for God, because it's what makes you who you are. And we got to get to that point where what we do in our lives, we're thriving for God. And that I don't look at anything I do for him as a chore. And even my job I do, we're a faith-based organization. And the clients that we come into the pregnancy center would break your heart. We had this summer, two 13-year-olds who thought they were pregnant. And the one little girl, it was just like all she wanted was a mom to listen. And she wasn't pregnant, but she had had sex. And it's like, my God, where are the parents for these children? And that's what these little ones are coming to us, and we're counseling them. And then we have a 41-year-old who's coming in who has cancer. And so she's going to go through the pregnancy without chemotherapy. And we're praying with her that that baby will be born healthy, and that God will heal her. We've been praying for healing for her body. We have another one who's expecting twins, and I can't even remember her name right now, but the one twin is not doing well. And so we are praying for her little boy in the womb to be all right. And so she's coming for prayer all the time. That's what we're doing there. And it's an important ministry. I just had to, you know, a few years ago, Vaughn taught about the fact where so many people say, wait, I put God first, then my ministry, then my family, and then my job. And it's not like that. We live more in a pie where it's divided into things. It's divided into our family, our ministry, our work, and different things that we do. And he was saying one day that the pie slides. Sometimes it's more about your family. Sometimes it's more about your ministry. And the whole pie is about God. Because if God isn't in every part of the pie, it's not going to work. And you know when you're to do what. And a year ago, the Lord told me, I want you to concentrate on your parents and your mother-in-law more than you have been. And I didn't know why, but since November, we got hit with so many things with my mother-in-law moving her here, and my dad had Alzheimer's. It got really bad at the end there, and he did pass away, and right after, my mother had open-heart surgery, and I had to spend that time. In the summer, God has told me, the pie is shifting. Your parents, your two moms are okay, and it's time to move on. And he told me that it's going to open up more in the church. So when Vaughn said, preach today, I said, yes, I have to, because God, you told me this part of the pie is getting bigger, and it's with you, God. So listen to God and what he's speaking to you. You know, I've learned whether I'm speaking a 30-minute teaching in a prison or a 5-minute offering at a GLOW, what I do is I say, God, what do you want the people there to hear today? What do you want? What words do you want them to hear? And I wait. And what was happening, you know, I found out late Sunday night I was preaching today, and all day Monday, okay, Lord, what do you want the people to hear? And I was hearing nothing. And then all day Tuesday, okay, Lord, what do you want the people to hear? And I was hearing nothing. And I said to Rich, I'm not hearing anything. I don't know. But I didn't panic because I thought, you know what? I've gone to places sometimes where, just like Joe was saying, last minute you walk in and you just say whatever the Spirit wants you to say. And you move in an anointing that's powerful. But on Wednesday, he started to give me a vision. And I'm going to share that a little later. And then he started sharing things one after another. And this week was a busy week, but he gave me scriptures and notes, and they just fell into place. And so I know that God has poured forth an anointing upon this, and we're just going to move with it today. We're going to move with it. And I don't know if it's going to minister to everybody, but I'm hoping a part of it will minister to different ones in this room, because this is what God is saying to this church today, because that's what I ask him. And when you ask him something, he answers what you ask him. He really does. So I've just been going about this, and so what he said to me, the first thing he said after the vision, which I'm going to share later, he said, basic training is over. Basic training is over. A year and a half ago, we had the Holy Spirit fall on this place like we haven't seen in a long time. And Rich and I have known Vaughn for probably 20-some years, because we used to go up to Zion Prayer Mountain, and our paths would cross so many times over the years. So we knew him, And I knew, I'd seen him at meetings. I'd seen him places where he moved in the prophetic that was outrageous. And I kept thinking, why doesn't he do it here? And I kept thinking, I've seen him move in the power of the Spirit that's so amazing. Why isn't it happening here? So a friend of mine and I were praying that it would happen here. And lo and behold, after many years of prayer, it happened here. And I got so excited. It was like, wow, I'm having a senior moment. The singer came, and you know, I'll know who he was. And Roy Fields came, and the Spirit fell in this place, and I watched our pastor on the floor crying, and I watched him laughing his socks off, and I said, God, it's come. Praise God. Praise God. And you know, some people left because they weren't comfortable. Other people came because they heard the Spirit was moving in this place, but it was a good thing. We went through bumps in the road because we had to learn how to deal with it. We had to learn how to move with it and what was important, but it was a good thing because we can't function without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. We need it. We need it so badly. We learned about the anointing when Roy Fields came, and then Steve came for a while. We learned about how to love each other, how to minister to each other, how to care about other people. Our hearts were touched, and the Spirit came. And what I loved seeing was the fact that our young people, our teenagers and our 20-somethings, got ignited for the passion of the Holy Spirit. I would sit there because a lot of times, you know, I've been doing this stuff for years because I've been in a GLOW, and that's where I learned my stuff 20 years ago. Actually, I've been in 25 years. That's a little scary, getting old. But, you know, I've seen it. So I sat back a bit because I wanted to watch the young people do it. I wanted to see them move forth in it. I wanted to step back and say, okay, let them do it, God. Let them learn how to do it. And some of the others that had never done it before, because I wanted to just sit there and pray for them and let it happen and see them. And it just blew me away to watch the passion of these young people change, to see in the music the change, because, you know, it didn't matter about the perfection of the music anymore. It just mattered on how the Spirit was flowing, and that's what God wanted. But he showed me recently that there's more to just standing up here and dancing, and there's more than just laying hands on somebody and them going out in the Spirit. God was telling me that was our basic training, and we got it down, and we got it down well. But he said, now is the time to move on to the next level. It's time to move on to specialty training. Now, my son is a Marine, and he got his basic training at Parris Island. And after that, he went to Camp Lejeune to get specialty training. And for the life of me, I can't remember what his title was called there. But the way he explained it to me one day, and I won't use the exact words he used because he's not walking with God, but he goes, basically, Mom, I'm blowing up stuff, you know? And and you can imagine what he said. And anyways, I said, okay, I don't think I want to know about that one. More prayer for that, son. But, you know, it was like, that's what God has wanted us to do right now. It's time to blow some stuff up. It's time to blow some stuff up in this place. It's time to rally the troops and for specialty training. It's time to move like we never have before, because we are sending people out. We're sending people to Africa, to India. We're going to go other places. I've actually been praying for God to touch Overland Missions to cold places. Can you maybe have a little in with that and pray about that? I want to go where it's colder and there's no bugs. And you know, when you get over 50, sometimes you can't sleep in those tents anymore, but I'm willing to go to Iceland. I'm willing to go to places like that. As long as I have my electric socks with batteries, I'm ready to roll. You know, and it's like God is calling us to all the nations, not just the hot and buggy ones. You know? And I'm willing to go. And if God said, get on a plane to Africa right now, guess what? I'd be on that plane to Africa. But I haven't heard that call yet. My husband has, and I'll pack his suitcase for him. So next year we're praying he retires and he'll be on that plane going. But as a church, we need to get ready. We need to take things head on. In Hebrews 5:13-14, it says, anyone who lives on milk, not solid food, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish from good and evil. It's time to not to be bottle fed anymore. You know, I'm feeding my grandson the bottle now, but he wants to start taking food. At the pastor's meeting, he dumped my whole plate on my lap, you know, because he wanted food. But we had to get to that point where we want solid food so bad. We don't want to be spoon fed anymore. We want to have it all. We want to learn everything that we can know about the power of the Spirit. That's how I am. You want to join me? You know, and I have my moments. There's days I don't want to get out of bed, and there's days I don't feel good. I've actually been battling not feeling well this summer. But you know what? I can't let it stop me. I won't let it stop me, because it's the enemy. It was the enemy trying to stop you from speaking that day, and you overcame it by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. We need to know how to distinguish good from evil. In today's world, I'm going to say, too, if you are going to Africa and India, you need to have discernment. If you don't have discernment between good and evil, you're not going to make it there. I mean, I know places in America that we're not going to make it if we don't have discernment. When I go into the prison, the men's prison, I need discernment there. I need to know what to say to who and how to say it, and I need to know who to stay away from. When we go to Shwangunk, a guy came in one day, and the Lord said, do not get along with this particular man. And he's never said that to me about any man in the prison before. He said, stay away from this man because of the things that he's done. And I had a little inkling of what he has done. And I was absolutely right. Later on, I went home on the internet, found out what he did, and I knew God was protecting me to stay away from this one man. And I told Rich, and Rich watches out now, because this man will make a beeline for me lots of times, and Rich will come over and kind of steer him away from me. And we have to have discernment, because going into Africa can be dangerous. Going into India can be dangerous. Going into the Muslim countries right now can be dangerous. It can be dangerous going on the plains. We have to know between good and evil and have discernment. If we don't have it, it's not going to work for us. We're going to get discouraged and we're going to run with our tail between our legs back home to mommy. You know, and that's the way it's going to be. We are not living in a peaceful time anymore. We are living in a time of war. I was laughing when Pastor Don was starting to speak, and I said to Rich, I love when somebody starts preaching my message. Because it's just a confirmation of what God is saying. You know, I used to, years ago, if someone started quoting scriptures before me, I'm thinking, oh, they're stealing my message. But now it's like, yeah, they're stealing my message, because they're saying it. But people are going to hear it twice. They're going to hear twice that we're in a war. We are in a big war right now. It's good versus evil, and it's love versus hate. And we know which side we're on in this place. We're on the side of God's love and good, and we have the evil and the hate coming at us, and we need to be armed and dangerous for this. If we're not, it's going to take us over. The enemy is prowling, seeing who he can devour. He wants to devour Christians. We smell good to him. It's like it's the first one that he wants to come after. He wants to stop us. He's on a rampage right now to kill, steal, and destroy. And why? Because he knows his time is short. His time is short, and he knows, so he's stepping up the heat. It's even hot in here today, but you know what? I'm believing it's the power of the Spirit and the fire of the Holy Ghost in this place, because something is going to happen. Something God is going to move this day. As this gets into our spirit, we're going to move from this place with a fighting spirit for the Lord like we've never had before. Because something is brooding over our cities and our nations also. And it's the prince of the air. It says it right in the word that Satan is the prince of the air. He controls the atmosphere. But when we praise like we praised this morning, and when we shout like we shouted this morning, we dispel the enemy over our atmosphere. And we need to do that wherever we go. When I get on a plane, I used to be terrified of flying. And now I don't still like it, but I don't mind it, and I do it. When I get on the plane, I touch it. And I just bless that plane, and I get on. And you know what? When I went to Dallas last week, I've been so busy, I don't even watch the news. And I heard that all of a sudden there was a hurricane down that way. And we ended up sitting on the tarmac in Atlanta for over an hour because the storm was winding down a little bit. And so they said, finally, we're ready to roll. And we had one of the smoothest flights into Dallas. The landing, even though the sky looked so ominous and awful, we had a smooth landing right down. And when we got out of the plane for a cab to go to the hotel, the sky was black, and it was just hanging all over the city there. And we got to our hotel, we had lunch, and we had time to rest before a night meeting. And so we turned the TV on, my roommate and I, and we're watching, and we got a live cam there that there was tornadoes hitting down all over Dallas. And so she whipped out her computer, and every time they said where it was coming, she would say, oh, it's right there. And we were looking where we were, and she goes, there's one in the north right now. And she goes, oh, there's one in the south, and one in the east, and one in the west. And they were all around us, the tornadoes. But I knew that there was 1,300 CareNet people praying in that building. So I was not afraid, you know. And God was all around us. And so we were praying for these tornadoes, and it turned out that only one person died. And you know, God protected people. And we were talking to hotel staff, and they said, yeah, we were getting ready to evacuate all of you. And I go, where do you go in this place? And he goes, there's tunnels under the building. And we were ready, but God was there, and he had his hand over that place. Because you have to know, as a Christian, wherever you go, you have the angel of the Lord around you. He encamps around you wherever you go. Just remember that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We need to know that we are in a war. We are fighting a war, and not only is it a personal war, because so many times things come against us. Things come against us that we feel like the enemy is barraging us. It's like distractions in our lives, setbacks, confusion, frustrating circumstances, and it's just little things like, you know, things that are frustrating. Today I went to turn the little heat on our fireplace, and it wouldn't go on. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to let it bug me. And when these little things happen, don't let them bug you. Just say, okay, the enemy wants to get my goat, but it isn't going to happen. But we have to remember that it's over the area too. It's over the globe, the things that are happening. And what's happening is that we are fighting an influence of immoral, perverse leaders in our culture. And I'm not just talking about our politicians, but I'm talking about on the television, the people that our children watch, the rock stars, the things like that. We are being exposed to that every day in our society, this immoral behavior that's coming forth. And the biggest thing is that one of Satan's greatest schemes, I had to write this one down so I'd remember, but over 50 million innocent babies since 1973 on the altar of convenience were murdered. And I'm talking about abortion since 1973. And I'd read this in a book about on the altar of convenience, because it wasn't convenient for 50 million women to have babies. Those babies were killed. And that was a plot of the enemy. And we've got to be aware, like Pastor Vaughn said a week ago, we think that's gone, that was 20 years ago in 1973 or whatever, but it's rampant again. It's rampant. Planned Parenthood closed in New Paltz, and we got excited, and it closed in Ellenville, and yay God, and it's closing all over. But then Bobby, my director in Saugerties, found out, she talked to the leader in Planned Parenthood at a meeting she went to, and he said, oh yeah, we're building a big mega center in Poughkeepsie. In Poughkeepsie, there's going to be everything. There's going to be doctors right on the spot, so the woman can come right in and get an abortion that day if she wants it. It's going to be huge. And the other thing that's happening is we have to, I don't even want to go into it, but we have to know that I've been studying a lot about Margaret Sanger, and the reason Planned Parenthood was started, it was to take down the races. It was to eliminate some of the races on the earth. And we found out that's why it's going to Poughkeepsie, because it has one of the largest black populations in our area. And that's why it's there, and I'm spitting mad. We're going to fight that one. We're going to fight that devil, because that might be on the other side of the river, not my territory, but guess what? It is my territory, because the people in Ulster County are going to go over there, and we're going to fight that one with everything that we have, and we fight it through the power of the Holy Spirit. God put a war mode in us. Now, I had it naturally. I was this kind of a spitfire as a kid. I liked to fight. As my brother, I used to love to pick on him and poke him and hit him and all sorts of things. That was something in me. But now he's 6'7", so I leave him alone. But, you know, and he's actually forgiven me, and we get along well now. But, you know, that was in me. But God put it in all of us, but he wants us to use it for his purposes. He wants us to know that no matter what's happening in our lives, whether it's our kids are not with God, whether we're having financial difficulties, if there's strife in our marriages, whatever it is, it comes to a point when we're living in oppression, under oppression, we need to get to a point where we're saying it's no longer acceptable. It's no longer. You have to say enough. I've had enough. So many times we live in it because it's comfortable, and we don't want to fight it, and we don't want to do anything about it. But God is saying, today is the day, rise up and fight for your marriages. Fight for your children. Fight for your health. I've had to fight for my health so many times. Rich will tell you, I've been attacked since I was a kid with my health. If it wasn't one thing, it was diagnosed with a brain tumor once. It was diabetes. It was all sorts of things on and off over the years. A few years ago, I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and I decided, you know what? I don't receive that. So now and then I'll say, well, okay, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, but I don't own it. I don't have it. And that's what we have to get. And if you have diabetes, I had it, and God healed it. And so once in a while, if I eat wrong, it tries to come back. But I say, I don't own diabetes. I'm careful about it. I do what I'm supposed to, but I don't own it. We can't own these sicknesses in our bodies. We can't own the strife in our marriages. We have to give it to God and say, I've had enough. I want the enemy out of my life. I want to move forward. We have to do that. We have to say that, because then we get in war mode. And when we do, you become the fact that you're in active duty now. You are in active duty. And as Christians, we've surrendered our hearts to the Lord, but we need to surrender to his grace so that we have an anointing to fight that good fight of faith. It says it in the word to do that. and we walk by faith and not by sight. This summer, I've been having problems with my eyesight. It'll be fine 1 minute, and then the next minute, I can't see anything in the distance, and it lasts for 3 or 4 days, and I went to the eye doctor twice, and they don't see anything wrong. So I said, you know what? It's just the enemy trying to rattle my cage, and I'm not going to let him. And so in the days that it happens, I say, okay, I walk by faith, but not by sight. And you know what? God, I need my sight, though. And I've been proclaiming, I walk by faith and not by sight all summer long. And my sight comes back. And I know the enemy wants to rattle me because that's how he used to rattle me, but no more. Not going to do it with my health issues any longer. We have to walk by faith and not by sight and trust in our God, because if we don't trust in the Word of God, if we don't trust in Him, then what do we have as Christians? We're not effective with other people. If we can't walk it ourselves, we're not effective. And God wants an effective people. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. And it continues to say that they are mighty to the pulling down of all strongholds. And it doesn't say that God's going to do it. It says that you are mighty to the pulling down of all strongholds, that we can pull down all strongholds. We cannot be afraid of it. We have to do it. We need to pick up that sword and hold on so tight, like in the scripture where it was hard to let go and the sword came out and the hand was still like this. We need to grip on to this sword so much. We need to fight for righteousness. We need to know how to take spiritual authority. We need how to speak the word of God. I'm going to speak it right now. John Walker, by the blood of the Lamb, you are healed. And I'm going to keep proclaiming it until the day that I see it, because it's enough. And you know what? You might struggle with it, but I'm going to believe God for you. And there's a room full of people that are going to believe God with you for that. And other people that are struggling, we're going to believe together with the body that God has brought together. We're believing for a healthy birth and a healthy baby and delivery. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to stand together in brothers and sisters, and we're going to fight this battle together. We're not going to be intimidated by the enemy any longer, because there's been too many wounded and weary people. We wound each other by stupid little words. You know, forget about the stupid little words. You know, I've learned if somebody snaps at me, the first thing I do is, okay, they must have had a fight with their spouse, or they have a headache, or they got stomach cramps, or they're having a bad day today, and I'm not going to be offended. We have to choose not to be offended and let it go and walk away without it, because God called us to love Him first and then love one another as we love ourselves. And that's how we do it. We let go of the other things and we don't care. I get to the point where I don't care. If somebody says something about me, I don't care. Now, if it's nice, it's like, yay, thank you. But you know what? If it's... Okay, be honest here. And you know, if somebody told me, okay, she needs to lose weight, I'd be, okay, God, I didn't like that. But you know what? I get over it. We have to be mature Christians. We have to move forward. We have to not care. And we are in a legitimate time of war. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:8, you know, there's a time for war, and we are in it right now, the times that we're living in. The sooner that we switch into war mode, the sooner that the Holy Spirit kicks in for us. And then we defeat oppression. What it is, we're being oppressed by the enemy. I don't want to let him oppress me. And then we secure victory. I love, you know, in the troops, my son is a Marine. When they take something back, they secure it. They secure victory. We need to secure victory in our lives. We need to rebuke passivity. We need to take authority over self-pity. Don't feel sorry for yourselves when you get things. You know, God knows our feelings and our emotions, though. He knows what we go through. And, you know, when we first get told something, God understands if we get sad and we're struggling with it. But don't camp there. Don't put your tent pegs in. Don't, you know, pull a cot in. And thank you, Lord. It's our choice whether to camp there. And we can't camp there. If we're going to do things for God, we can't camp there. Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. We need to make that war cry known. We need to not be afraid to shout at the enemy. Look at what happened when they shouted at Jericho. The walls fell down. Look what happens when we shout against the enemy. We shout to the Lord. I love all the song picks today. You know, shout to the Lord. And the eagle song at the end, because the eagle song, the eagle scripture is my scripture. I don't know if anybody else wants to share it with me, but it's mine, because God took me from being that little bird in the nest that did not want to get out and pushed me and then caught me and then pushed me again and caught me until he said, fly and go for it. And you know, so all those songs today confirmed what God is doing today. God is a warrior, and God says to be like him, to be like Jesus. So guess what? We are called to be warriors too. We need to shake off the weariness. We need to shake off fear, shake off apathy. Shake off being panic-stricken. We need to just keep going and trust him no matter what we're going through. A good soldier is disciplined. Now, the next scripture I'm going to read, I hated this scripture because it's the first time I heard it. It was like over 20 years ago. I was a new Christian, and in the church I was going, we were having a Christian diet class, and they made us memorize this scripture, and so I didn't like it. But now I know how important it is. It's in Hebrews 12, and it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained in it. God is training us. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. God doesn't want us to be lame and disabled. He wants us to walk as a people healed. Now, we might have bum knees. Vaughn and I share that. But you know what? I still walk like I'm healed. And I'm going to walk like I'm healed even if my knees hurt. And I'm going to walk like I'm healed no matter what I'm feeling, because I find when I walk like I'm healed, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. And every single one of us can do that. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 26, it says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. God says we're out of basic training. It's time for the strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. God is saying, run that race. Don't be afraid to run it. Paul was saying he said these scriptures because he realized that if he didn't stop living a holy life, if he stopped living holiness, and if he stopped exercising self-control, and if he didn't endure hardship for Christ, he would fail and he wouldn't get that crown. A scripture that I can never remember where it is, and I got to embed it in my brain, but there's too much in there sometimes. You know, it's like I read one day Paul was preaching someplace, and the first thing he said, thank you for listening to me. Even though I have this pain in my body, thank you for welcoming me. And when I read that, I thought, you know what? I can get up and preach if I have pain in my body, because I find when I stand up here and preach, nothing hurts. Nothing, you don't feel any, your feet don't hurt, your back doesn't hurt, your headache goes away. Everything moves under the anointing, and you don't feel any pain except for you feel the power of the anointing upon you. And then you can minister to other people no matter what you're going through in your life. If we all waited till we had the perfect life where nothing was going on, none of us would minister. We can't do that. In Luke 6:40, he says, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Our teacher is Jesus, and he wants to fully train us so that we are like him. 2 Timothy 3:16, and the reason is because all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to be thoroughly equipped for everything that we do. When we go to Africa, when we go to India, when we go to Henry Street. You know, my son is a cop, and he's like, Mom, don't go on Henry Street. You know, but I drive there all the time, and I pray as I'm driving through there because it's the shortest route to my mother-in-law where she lives. And I can't be afraid because I trust God. I trust God. If I don't drive those streets and pray for those people on those streets, and I know other people go there, but we need to go there and pray on those streets. So I'm not going to avoid it just because my son, the unbeliever, told me to. I'm going to do it because God said, go this day. Now, I have to tell you, someday God may say, don't go that way today. That's why we have to listen, because he might say, don't go that way today, and you'll find out later there was a reason you didn't go that way today. That's why we need to be totally in tuned to everything that he is saying. I love this scripture. The Lord just showed me this one, and it's in Isaiah 50, 4-5, and it says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. I love the fact that he's instructed my tongue, and that he has given the word through the tongue, and that he's instructed me. And it says, he wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. So when we wake up in the morning, we're listening like one being taught by the Holy Spirit when we wake up. And it says, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. We hear these things. So that day then God says, don't go on Henry Street. Go the other street. Don't do this day, but do this day. The word says that he orders our steps. But he will be our guide when we're listening to him and listening to the call that he has. And remembering that we're in times of war. We need to be in war mode. Now, the vision that God gave me in the beginning, the first thing I saw when I was praying for this message, I saw a flag waving. And I was like, okay, God, why am I seeing a flag waving? And then I saw a person dressed in armor on a horse waving the flag and going forth. And I was like, okay, what are you saying with this? And I got a new Bible. It's a history Bible, American history, and it's got scriptures, and it tells history along with it, and it's really a really neat Bible. And I just opened it up, and it said a little blurb about the flag, and it was written by Henry Ward Beecher. He was a 19th century Congregational clergyman, and he said, a thoughtful mind, when it sees a nation's flag, sees not the flag only, but the nation itself, and whatever symbols may be on it, whatever insignia, I read instead the truth that is on the flag, the history which belongs to the nation that sets it forth. And when I read that, I felt like the Lord saying, when we raise our flag and we're going into battle, that flag is showing who we are. It's showing what we stand for. It's showing that we are Christians following Jesus Christ. It's showing us that we're going forth with no fear. It's showing us that we're going forth under the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we're to not be afraid. We're to wave that banner high, because with that banner raised high, we will take down the enemies that are before us. Don't be afraid to go into that battle. Go forth peacefully with that flag, that banner raised high. We are fighting Babylon. Okay, I got 5 minutes to wrap this up with Babylon. But Babylon, there's a Babylon mentality in the United States of America. It's, I've got to find myself. That's a Babylon mentality. We hear that all the time. Oh, I need to find out who I am, and I need to find all about myself, and let's dig deep. Well, I believe in inner healing, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and Bible teaching. But this is a worldly attitude. It's self-absorption. Babylon symbolizes self-will, greed, taking possession of territory and things for yourself. It's idols. It's everything worldly. And it also stands for the terrorism that is coming forth from the Middle East. It's coming forth to take what we have. And we have to just know that this symbol, it's come because of evil, because it wants to kill, steal, and destroy and take us down. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. So I'm going to say that. Remember, we're not fighting against each other. We're not even fighting against the Muslim person. We're not fighting against people who make us mad, people in the world, because God has called us to love every single one of them. My co-director Elaine and I went to SUNY New Paltz to set a table up for the pregnancy center, and right next door, it happened to be a Muslim for a day. And a young girl was there, and she was out in the hall, and she was calling people in, be a Muslim for a day. And they would put the burqa thing on them and give them Muslim food and different things. And I was sat there so shocked at how many kids went back through that door to do that. I just sat there, and I felt totally, I said, God, teach me how to war against this. I don't know how to do this. And I felt helpless. So I just started saying, be a Christian for life. Be a Christian for life. And... And then people did start coming over to us, but they were drawing them in. And later on, the girl that was running it came over and was talking to us, and she was sweet. And it was like, Lord, just draw her into the kingdom. Draw her into the kingdom of God. And she's like, oh, we believe the same thing you do. We believe that abortion is wrong. And I said, yeah, I know you do. And but in my head, it was just like, oh, Lord, what a lovely young woman. And it's like, how she's deceived by the lies. And I took a class in August that was phenomenal. It was too much information, though. It was too much to grasp, and it was on Islam. And I can't even go into it because I'd be here for 5 hours. But we are living in a time right now where the Muslim influence is getting in everywhere. And every single thing is tied to the Muslim Brotherhood. It was showing us that everything that we see that even looks innocent is tied into the Muslim Brotherhood, especially in the prisons. And I already knew that in there because I've seen it. But it's coming all over the place. And they're teaching a philosophy like we believe an apple is an apple, and we believe an apple is not an orange. Well, what they're trying to teach is an apple is an orange. So they're trying to get into the schools. They showed us a textbook that's in Dearborn, Michigan's high school that teaches about how to be a good Muslim. It's in the high school in Dearborn, Michigan. And it's a whole textbook, and it tells how to do that. And they are trying to tell the people, I mean, what we believe is the United States of America, we believe that we can be Christians and worship. They can be Muslims and worship. I mean, that's what our Constitution says. But what they're trying to do, they're trying to say, okay, it's all right. We believe in the same God. We believe the same things. It's all right. And they're pulling people in by deception. And they're letting people think, it's okay. There's no difference. We're the same. And people are buying it. People are buying it that we're the same. And they're getting suckered in like that girl at the campus. Oh, be a Muslim for a day. It's fun, you know, and we're getting suckered in so easily. And I didn't want to preach about that, but it's something that we need to be aware of because we are fighting the powers of darkness. In Isaiah 47, it says, your wisdom and knowledge mislead you when you say to yourself, I am, and there's none besides me. Disaster will come upon you, and you'll not know how to conjure it away. When we think about ourselves, the disaster comes upon us. We need to be a nation that starts putting God first, because then we'll see the victories that we need to have. But God, because of God, we can lay down that flesh. Because of God, we can fight the evil one and not be afraid. It's nothing to be afraid of. I remember years ago, people would get like, ooh, spiritual warfare, I got to go. You know, I don't want to do that. And things with the Holy Spirit, oh, I'm afraid of the Spirit. And I actually do preach in a lot of denominational churches because of the pregnancy center, so I have to be careful how I talk, but I always do say, well, I do move with the strength of the Holy Spirit. I have to word things carefully. I went to one Baptist church, and later on I had about 10 women come up to me and go, can you lead us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And next thing I knew, the pastor's wife was there too, and I hope she didn't get in trouble later, but people want it. First Corinthians 2:10-12. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. We have the Holy Spirit that tells us exactly what God is thinking. When I ask God, what do the people need to hear today? He said, they need to know to take it to the next level. Basic training is over. He told me to tell you to not be afraid of the things that may be happening around you, but to go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit, because he will protect you and your family and keep you safe, that he will bring in those children that have been going to the wayside, that he will heal. It says it in his word. It says it in his word that he will do these things. Jeremiah 51 says, sharpen your arrows, take up your shields. The Lord has stirred up the king of the Medes because his purpose is to destroy Babylon. Because the Lord will take vengeance for his temple. Lift a banner up against the walls of Babylon. Reinforce the guard. Station the watchmen. Prepare for an ambush. The Lord will carry out his purpose, his decrees against the people of Babylon. Now, this is Old Testament, but we had that spirit of Babylon. And God is saying it's time to raise the banner against it. It's time to have watchmen on the wall. It's time to have prayer people in this church that are praying in the morning and in the evening. It's time to get ready for an ambush. One thing I'm excited that we're going to do, we're going to have a prayer meeting weekly, where people who are ill and struggling with things are going to come. Because I know that sometimes when you lay hands and they go down, things do happen, but sometimes some people just need more than that. They need to be prophesied over. They need to have deliverance. They need things set, pulled out of their life so that spirit can come in. We are going to start doing that in this church because we want to see everyone walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 52 says, announce and proclaim among the nations. Lift up a banner and proclaim. Proclaim it. Keep nothing back. But say, Babylon will be captured. Those idols will be captured. Greed will be captured. The things in our schools will be captured. The teachers that are teaching our children inappropriate things, they will be taken down. Their mouths, they won't be able to say it anymore. That's what I pray, Lord, let it not come out. And you know, Rich said this is probably his last year teaching because we're praying he can retire this year. So he said he's going out like a bang. So he's going to, I'm putting you on the spot, buddy. You know, it's like... He said he's not going to be afraid to say things this year because we have to get that way where we're not afraid to say something in the grocery store to somebody. We're not afraid to minister to somebody. We're not afraid to let people know that we're Christians. I have to admit, I have been guilty of that. And my biggest thing, well, I'm not a fish catcher. I'm a fish cleaner. But you know what? God wants us to be fish catchers and cleaners, you know, and he's calling us to do that. The thing I'm going to end with is a quick story, and I hope you'll bear with me on this. It's about a friend of mine. And I want to end it that we have to walk in truth. And John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how we walk. And a good friend of mine, Ruth Faircloth and her husband Max, a year and a half ago, their oldest son was in a car accident. They were called early in the morning that he was close to death and they needed to get over to the hospital as quickly as possible. So she called all of her GLOW sisters and we were praying and they got out of the hospital and it looked bleak. And they were told, gather your family from all over because it doesn't look like your son Monroe is going to make it. So they had everybody come and everybody was at the hospital down at Westchester Med, and that happened on a Thursday, and so they were all still there because he was on the brink, and one of the things that she did, the doctor said, well, I don't believe he's going to make it because this and this and this, and he was a head honcho there, and she goes, well, I'm sorry, but I don't believe you. I believe the report of the Lord, and she was standing firm in that hospital, and then what happened on that Saturday morning at 5 a.m., they were all at the hospital. 8 people lived in her house, and they were all at the hospital. Lightning struck their house, hit the furnace, and the whole house blew up. The whole house was demolished. Nothing was left. Rich and I drove by, and all it was, even bricks were demolished. Everything was demolished. There was nothing on that property. Sometimes you'll see a chimney still standing or something. There was nothing. It looked just like total incineration. And they were all at the hospital. They didn't even know what happened, but there'd been cars in there driving because they'd all driven down together in one car. And their neighbors all thought they died in there, and nobody could find them. And finally, somebody got a cell phone and called them. And Ruth was saying, I couldn't handle the house thing at the time because my son was in danger. And if you're ever in Westchester Medical, they have a huge fish tank. And in one side, you go in to the desk to go in the hospital. And the other side is a big waiting room, but you can walk around it. And this friend of mine has got so much courage. And she got her family together, and she goes, get up. God said we have to march around this fish tank 7 times. And they did. They marched around this fish tank 7 times. And she goes, when we go around the 7th time, we're going to shout. And this is an African-American friend of mine who her family is big and they're loud. And I can just picture it now. And they went around and they started shouting. And she goes, nobody there knew what to do with us. And they shouted. And one of the people that was standing by, he goes, ooh, I felt something happen. And do you know, her son took a turn for the better after that, and he lived and not died. Praise God. And so, and even the house, years ago, she had a vision from God, and he'd shown her this big white house with pillars. And she goes, oh, I know, God. You know, that's what your mansion in heaven looks like. And he told her, oh, no, you're going to live on earth in a house like that. Well, the house they rebuilt looks just like that. She got her mansion from heaven on earth. But she lost everything. I don't think any of us know what it's like to lose every single thing in your life. Every picture, every article of clothing, your Bibles, your books, your furniture, your spoons, you know, everything, all your jewelry. They lost everything except the clothes they had on themselves. And so God has been good returning things over the last year and a half, but I want to end with what happened to her just 2 weeks ago. She leads a migrant ministry group where they bring kids up for the city and they have a week of camp up in the woods and have fun for the kids to get out of the city. And she goes, she's in charge of it. So normally she said she goes around and checks the classes out. And she went into a classroom and she felt drawn in and she sat down and they were making collages out of just little junk pieces. Like there was big buckets of buttons and old jewelry and just scrap things. And she goes, oh, this looks like fun. So she goes, I sat down and I started making a collage. And she goes, then I pulled something out of the bucket. And she goes, I'm looking at that. And she goes, that's my earring. And she's like, it looks like my earring. I mean, how could that be? It's my earring. And this was a solid gold earring. And it was a post, but she had specially made on it. On behind the post, she had one of those clips. The ladies will know what I'm talking about, that clips will clip into the post. It was a real gold earring, but she had a special thing added to hold it on so she wouldn't lose it because they were very special to her. And she's like, that is my earring because no one else would have that special piece made on that earring. So she's looking at it, and she hears the Lord say, put your hand in the bucket again. She puts her hand in the bucket again and pulls out the other earring. They were her earrings. She goes, I'm not even saying they look like my earrings. She goes, they had the added-on piece that no one else's earrings would have. And she went the next day or two to the woman who sold it to her, and she said, what do you think of these? And the lady goes, those are the earrings I sold you a couple years ago. And she goes, yeah, they're my earrings. God returned back my earrings. Now, if we think about it in the natural, there's no way it could happen because everything was gone in that house. Everything. But I sat there as she said it, and I had a little epiphany, a revelation, because so many times I have prayed over people who have lost things in their lives, who've struggled because the enemy came after them, and I've prayed, God is going to return back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. And I've declared that over people. And we have prayed that over Ruth and Max so many times. And we saw him return her son's health. We saw him return her house. But when he returned her own earrings back to her, I was like, God, wow, you are God. You returned back. Amen. I'm in awe. There's no question in any of our minds, those are her earrings and God brought them back. If God can bring back a pair of earrings, what can he do in our lives for ourselves and as we minister to other people? We're living in times of revelation, even though we're in times of war. We're living in times that great miracles will happen. We need to get not only in war mode, but miracle mode, believing that this word is truth, that God will return back everything that the enemy has stolen in our lives, that he will return our children. He's going to return my sons. Even if they're kicking and screaming, they're going to come back to God. And you know what? He's going to return back health to people. He's going to return back things that have been lost. And he wants to do that today. He wants to start with us. I know this is a message that came from God, and I'm sorry it's going on. I'm even sweating. I never sweat. And it's like, and it's like, I know that God is moving in this place. So I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then if you have a need, I would like the pastoral team to come up, because we're going to pray, because this word is truth. It's truth. I believe it with all my heart. I believe what my God says. I believe that I can hear from the Holy Spirit. I believe that my tongue is instructed by him. I believe everything that he tells me. But in all security, on Henry Street, that God is going to do things in Africa and India. And who wants to go with me to Iceland? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We just praise you and thank you this day. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word, because your word brings encouragement. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. So today, Lord, I pray that everyone's faith has risen up, not one notch, not two notches, but a whole bunch of notches, Lord God. I pray that people get excited for the things that you're doing, that people will remember the things that you're doing, that we forget not your benefits. And so, Lord God, this day I pray for each person in this room, Lord, that you would return back what the enemy has stolen from them. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this day for every person that we secure victory in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for peace beyond understanding. I thank you for joy. The joy of the Spirit, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they go forth with love and a fresh anointing this day, and I thank you for them. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, and I say, bless them, Lord, as today we bless you, Lord. We bless you, and we praise you, and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. So please come forth, anyone who wants to get back what the enemy's stolen. If you just need an extra push today, if you need a healing in your body, anything that you need in your life, God is the answer. God is the only answer. So come forth this day. Amen.